Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. For those people that might be first-time listeners and unfamiliar with my voice, my name is Peter Mingles. We host this radio show. We've been doing this for a long time. There's been over 6,300 separate episodes on Building Fortunes Radio. And one of the reasons why we did this is I wanted to form a platform for people to hear about the great things that happen in home-based businesses. And tonight is going to be a great other example of that because we have Ray Gebauer. Ray does our radio shows on Wednesday at 8 p.m. Pacific time and then 11 p.m. Eastern time. And this one happens to be, just by coincidence, the last radio show we'll do before the Thanksgiving over here in the United States. And I just really like to say thank you to Ray Gebauer for taking the time out of his busy schedule on Wednesday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern time, 8 p.m. his time, to be able to share with us some of his thoughts and ideas on, you know, effectively building home-based businesses and living a better life epically. And Ray is a distributor of a network marketing company. And for those people that might be listening in, if you want to work with somebody who's really a great guy and a hard worker and applies the principles that he's going to be teaching us tonight, you want to work with Ray Gebauer. So you can listen to previous radio shows if you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/Ray Gebauer, G-E-B-A-U-E-R, if you're looking for the spelling of the last name. But I really suggest if you are sincerely looking for a way to make a difference in your life, you might consider using, of course, the products that he has, but just as importantly, working with him too, because he's been blessing us with these triple letter formulas for living a better life and succeeding in lots of other things. And they're a lot of fun to listen to, and you can develop a thought process behind his mindset, which is really great. But more importantly is he's always working on Ray Gebauer, and he'll be working on you as well. So, Ray, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you, Peter. Thank you for being here and letting me be here. And thank you all of you who are listening. And it's really an honor and privilege to be able to have a chance to speak into your life and to hopefully make a difference. And in my humble opinion, that's the whole purpose of life, is to make a difference. The true, ultimate, highest meaning of MFL is making life meaningful in whatever way we can, with whomever we can. And so I've gone through a lot in my life, and at this point here, I'm almost 68. I am basically a teacher. I'm an educator. You know, I don't sell stuff, but I do educate people along the lines of, you know, how can you have a better life? ABL, a better life epic, actually, a journey in which you can be a hero in your own life. So I'm inviting all of you.
Oops, Ray had mentioned he was having a problem with his phone, and he just did. So we're going to do this. I'm going to let him call back in for a second. I'm going to run a little commercial. He disappeared for a second. He told me that ahead of time. So I am going to give him a second or two. We're going to run a little commercial. We'll be right back. Or maybe he'll just buy some time to see if he calls back in. Up, oh, here he comes. Here he comes. Okay, Ray. Yep, you were just gone for about 30 seconds. I was almost ready to run a commercial, but here you are.
Yeah, my phone's been acting up here. It's not been as reliable as usual. So anyway, tonight I'm continuing my series. I've been going through the alphabet, not necessarily in order, but I got my triple letter formulas for a better life. And we got three of them left to go, X, Y, and Z. So tonight it's going to be a triple X show here. Triple X rating won't make it too spicy here, but hopefully it'll be interesting and enriching and educational. And I always like to give Peter a chance He takes three swings at the bat and see if he can guess, you know, at least one or two of my words for this message, my sermon for tonight. So Peter, what's your first guess? My three guess words.
You know, I was a little bit stumped because you gave this to me at last minute. You said it's going to be X today. So first one, I said, okay, I know it's not going to fit, but you're probably going to squeeze in. They got to remember the Ray Gebauer, if you're listening to the radio show. Ray's pretty creative, so he knows how to make things fit. So I'm going to say I think one of them is probably going to be extra, even though it starts off with an E, but the main emphasis is going to be extra. Then I was thinking a little bit on the abstract side. So X for like the unknown. So like in a mathematical equation, there might be, you know, 3X, you know, 3X or 5X, whatever. It's going to be the X part is the philosophical unknown. And the last X, I think I said extra, would probably be along the X-ray where you have to see through things. So I am absolutely positive I am 100% wrong on each one of those, at least I think, but I had to give it a whirl, and I was at least creative. So there we go.
Okay, well, thanks for your attempt. And
I would get the little trophy anyway, right?
Yeah, A-plus
the participation. Yeah, participation trophy.
Yeah. Well, actually, you did get one of them right this time. You know?
Oh.
Yeah. And, you know, in fact, just before I called in, I was thinking about, I remember when I was in first grade, and, you know, I got math. I mean, I got the addition real quick, but I really was stumped on the subtraction, and it took me a while to finally understand the concept. Seems sort of weird now. But then, jumping ahead, I remember, I think in ninth grade, eighth or ninth grade, they introduced us to algebra, where you have the X, you know. And I loved algebra. I was going to get my PhD in mathematics at one point because I was really good at it. But I really loved algebra and looking for the X, you know. So, but anyway, in determining, selecting my three words tonight, it was some kind of a challenge, and I'm actually going to take a little bit of liberty tonight, just like Peter was thinking along that same line, like the word extra. But let's start off with his third guess, which is X-ray. So I think there's some real potential in unpacking this word and some of the implications and ramifications. So for me, X-ray basically means, you know, well, first of all, I think of Superman. That was my hero when I was a kid. You know, he had X-ray vision, which was, you know, like super cool. And that's based on their technology, of course, where they use these certain rays to see through things. And so, like, you have an injury, they want to know if you actually have a broken bone or not. So they can use X-rays to see through the skin and see something that normally you couldn't see. So using, you know, technology. But metaphorically, I like this word because this is should I call it like a superpower or a skill that to some extent we all need to develop. And this reminds me of one of my favorite verses, passages in the Bible from 2,000 years ago. It's John 7:24. It says, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with wisdom." In other words, don't just judge and evaluate and analyze just on the surface level. Like we have another common phrase, don't judge a book by its cover. And that passage is actually quoting the passage in Isaiah chapter 11. But so the concept there is that God doesn't look at the outside, he looks at the heart. So we've got to develop that skill of seeing just beyond the surface information. You know, I think about like a ship going through the Arctic. You know, if you see a piece of ice, just a little piece of ice, you might, if think, well, it's no big deal. You know, it's just a little piece of ice. We'll just bump into it for fun, you know, or whatever, or just go right over it. And that's sort of naive, right? Because that little piece of ice might be just the top 10% of a huge iceberg that could take you down. So you got to judge or discern or evaluate, not just superficially by appearance, but you got to see the big picture. After you have x-ray vision, you have to, in that example, the ship and the ice, you've got to visualize what could possibly be underneath there. Oh, there's actually equipment now where they can tell you, you would see the whole iceberg. So what is it that is so important that we need to see beyond the surface level? Well, let's start with maybe the most basic thing is we need to see the truth. The truth isn't always so obvious. You know, last couple of years, the word fake has become really popular, and in a good way. You know, I think, you know, people are realizing there's a lot of fake stuff out there, not just fake merchandise, but fake news, you know, fake information. In fact, I just read a book by Robert Kiyosaki, who's an author, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and, you know, he's a great guy. he's very popular. And his latest book just came out. I ordered it, and the day I received it, I read the whole thing, you know, 464 pages of it. And the name of the book was called Fake. You know, it's about fake money, fake teachers, and fake assets, you know, like stocks and bonds. And his bottom line is that the only real money is actually gold, and all the other stuff we call money is really fake money. Excellent book. I would recommend it. So we have to realize that things are not always what they seem. You can't judge a book by a cover. You can't judge the value of a car by just, you know, looking at it. You know, there's more to it. You have to look deeper. You have to use your x-ray vision. And related to seeing the truth that maybe not be so obvious, and sometimes it's not obvious because some people are trying to deceive you and fake you out. And sometimes, you know, you just need to think more deeply, look a little deeper, and use your x-ray vision to see beyond what's obvious and see the whole picture. And sometimes that's it, seeing the whole picture versus just a part of the picture. That's where the x-ray vision actually also operates. But we need to use our x-ray vision to see value. People get faked out by thinking that, well, they're judging by appearance. Like I think about a healthy lifestyle, you know, eating junk food and too much sugar and french fries. So that's an example of just judging the situation or evaluating it superficially by, well, it tastes good. You know, what's wrong with eating stuff that tastes good? Yeah, I feel good after I have my, you know, whatever it is that's really not so good. But a person who has the x-ray vision or mentality, they see beyond the immediate payoff of the pleasure in the taste buds. Yeah, your taste buds are happy, but your liver and your brain and the heart and everything else is going to suffer, and you may end up getting diabetes. 80% of the people already have diabetes. You know, and so you got to look beyond immediate, beyond the surface, beyond just the taste and flavor, and realize there are consequences to things. You know, like I think I used this example last week. You know, maybe particularly a teenager, you know, they could get a real big payoff and thrill of, you know, speeding along at 100 miles an hour in a on a side street. You know, which is pretty dangerous, but, you know, there's a short-term payoff. It's a thrill, right? But it may not end well, you know, when they hit somebody or another car or a tree. And so we need to think more deeply rather than superficially. And unfortunately, all of us are guilty of that to some extent in probably every industry, every business, every field. Even in so-called science, the educational system, a lot of churches, you know, politics for sure, on both sides. Now, we need to use our X-ray vision to, let me put it and use another metaphor, to look for the gold. Not everything that glitters is gold, but we want to be looking for value. And so I'm using gold as a metaphor for value. Because life really is about seeing the value. Now, in a sense, everything has some value. I mean, playing, video games, which I never do. But, you know, there's a little bit of value there, or eating, you know, piece of cake. There's value, a little bit of value in pleasure and entertainment. But is that really the best use of my time? Is that really my best choice? So what's the greatest value? You know, why settle for, pennies or rocks if you can get the real goal? You want to get the greatest value in life, which isn't always obvious. Now, you need to use your X-ray vision to look for possibilities. Now, you can't see possibilities, really. It's all in our imagination. So that's where X-ray vision comes in. You have to see past the current reality of what actually is and see what isn't. You're seeing it as a possibility, and that's the power of the imagination. And I really appreciate that very insightful quote we have from a very famous person, Albert Einstein, who very astutely said that imagination is more powerful than knowledge. Because as important as knowledge is, it is just what it is, and that's the end of it. Like 2 + 2 = 4. Okay, that's knowledge, and that can be useful, but it doesn't really take you that far. Because it's limited. It's limited to reality. But imagination and using your X-ray vision helps you to see things that nobody else can see, because you're creating it in your imagination as a possibility. Now, that can work against you, too. If we use a lot of people use their imagination to anticipate or imagine negative things happening. And we call that worry. And so we sometimes refer to those people as mighty worriers instead of mighty warriors. But you want to use your imagination, your X-ray vision, to see positive possibilities that could give you a better life, that can enrich your story, in which you can maybe become a hero, help other people become heroes in their life. But you don't want to be limited just to what already is. You have to see beyond that. That's why a lot of people talk about having a vision. Seeing something that isn't yet, and use that to empower yourself. So that's another aspect of X-ray vision. Here's another really important one. Seeing beyond the surface using your X-ray vision to see who you really are. Your true self. Because unfortunately, because of programming and influence and media and whoever else, most people tend to have a low view of themselves. Even the people that seem extremely confident and even arrogant, that's usually a compensation for feeling really insecure and low self-esteem. And so we tend to judge ourselves too harshly. Like I'm just a piece of whatever. I'm just, I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody. And, we all start off really as nobodies in a sense, and we can become a somebody and go from a zero to a hero. But going down even deeper, ultimately, we all have immeasurable value. Our true self, as human beings made in God's image, we were made for a purpose. And so a good analogy for this is, like, if I hand you a big dirt clod, say about the size of a baseball, say, hey, here's a gift for you. And you might think, you might be insulted. You might think, well, that's sort of a dumb joke. I mean, a gift. And they say, no, it really is valuable. So I come on. Yeah, I can, it's just a bunch of dirt. There's no value here. I can go get, tons of dirt. So, no, there's value. You just don't see it. You got to use your X-ray vision. You got to see below the surface. Oh, okay, well, let's take off you know, see what happens, and you wash it off, and you find this huge diamond that's embedded inside the dirt, Claude, worth $10 million. But you didn't see it because you just judged according to appearance. You evaluated it based on just superficial information. So we've got to see below the surface, including below the surface of ourselves, of who we really are. Our true self, I believe we are all good. I mean, Ecclesiastes says God made man upright, but he has thought out many schemes. So, but we tend to become corrupted, but ultimately we are all good people that to some degree would be corrupted and polluted and contaminated. But all that can be fixed because at the deepest level, we are really good. We are like a buried treasure. You might be standing on a piece of just normal ground and think it was just a piece of ground, but you don't realize that 2 feet below you is this treasure chest worth millions of dollars, but you can't see it because you're not using your X-ray vision. And I'm saying the greatest treasure is really inside of you, and maybe you just haven't discovered it yet. Or maybe people have told you, and you just brush it off. Say, well, you don't really know me. You don't know what I've really done. You don't know how bad I've been or what kind of huge mistakes I've made. But, you know, as in the past, there still is that buried treasure. So we have to use our extra vision on ourselves to see that. Otherwise, we end up living a low-level life of just based on how we view ourselves. So you got to turn that X-ray vision into yourself and see that you are a good person. You're actually a person of love. You have a capacity for that. And got to see that and start to live consistent with your true self, as opposed to most people are living with a false self, which is often dominated by either fear or anger. And that really diminishes the quality of your life. It's like you're ripping yourself off. So I'm saying we have this skill, this ability that we're not fully using that I'm calling your X-ray vision that you need to use in every situation, including on yourself. The second word I have in my XXX formula for tonight is, like I said, a little bit of liberty here. It doesn't actually start with X, but, you know, sounds like X. And the word is expect or expectation. And I like to contrast this with the word realistic. So I hear people say, well, you got to be realistic. And I say, well, why? How would I want to limit myself to reality when there's a whole world out there beyond current reality that I can access by my imagination and possibilities? And, you know, the Bible doesn't say to be realistic. It says to live by faith. Faith is simply positive expectation. Faith or confidence is being optimistic. That means you're expecting something good is going to happen. So the fundamental value and driving force in our life really needs to be this faith dynamic, which I'm using a more common word here, of expectation. We've all heard that you tend to get what you expect. And that's even true with your health. Just recently, I read a study that they found that people live 71% longer if they expect it to. If they perceived themselves as healthier and that they were going to live longer, they actually did, even if they had the exact same lifestyle as the others who didn't live so long, who were pessimistic. So the person who's optimistic lives longer and is healthier. And they're not immune to all disease, but the odds are more in your favor. You're less likely to be part of that 80% of the population that already has diabetes. You're less likely to be in that 50% of the people who get cancer. expecting to be healthy. Now, that's not, you know, doesn't make you bulletproof, but it definitely helps. Now, so this power of expectation. I remember, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago, I was used to listen to these tapes by Dennis Waitley, really good speaker. And one of his principles was positive expectation. Now, I didn't have all these concepts sort of fit together into unified theory like I do now, but that really stuck out to me. I like that idea of positive expectation. And then eventually I realized, you know, that's really what faith is. That's what the Bible is talking about. You need to have faith, faith in God and faith in yourself and, you know, faith in your future. And you don't want to fall into this trap and say, well, let's not get our hopes up. Why? Because people want to avoid the potential pain of being disappointed. Okay, so if it doesn't work out and you're disappointed, what's going to happen? Are you going to die? Is that pain going to be so bad and terrible, like you can't live anymore, like this is just horrible? No, it's just a disappointment. So what? So I'd rather think big and have high expectations, which are going to get me a lot further in life, than playing it safe and say, well, I'm not going to have any expectations. I'm not going to get my hopes up because I don't want to be disappointed. Come on, you know, grow up. You can handle disappointments. And if you don't want to live by expectation or faith, you're not going to get as much in life. You're not going to make as much of a difference. It's like one of my metaphors or acronyms I came up with is DUI. I mentioned this once in a while on these broadcasts. You know, a DUI means driving under influence. And typically, we mean driving under the influence of some kind of chemical, like driving a car or a truck, influence of alcohol or drugs. But I like to apply it to life. We are all driving through life under the influence of something. All of us, we all have a DUI. And we get to choose what that DUI is. Most people are driving under the influence of fear and playing it safe and being right, as opposed to driving under the influence of faith or expectation, that's our key word here. It was positive expectation and belief and excitement and enthusiasm and passion. That really is supposed to be our fuel, not fear. And the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. That's the DUI that we want to be driving through life, because if that's your fuel, love, power, and a sound mind, as opposed to fear, you're going to get wherever you want to go a lot faster, and more likely you're going to actually even get there. And then once you get there, you may be able to go to the next mountain. So if you want to be powerful and have more of a meaningful life, more of an impact, make more of a difference, you want to make sure that you are primarily driving under the influence of expectation, expecting the best. Even though it's not always going to turn out the way you expect, it dramatically increases your chance of a working out. Now, there's another word that describes this this dynamic that they use in the medical field. And they sort of twist it to make it a negative thing, actually, because of their because they want to sell drugs. But they call it the placebo effect. Placebo comes from Latin, which means to please. So, you know, they discovered many years ago that patients wanting to please their doctor, you know, maybe not consciously, but, you know, that was what's going on, is that they would get better no matter what the doctor did. Even if the doctor didn't do anything, but the patient thought they did something that was good, they would get better because they were expecting to get better. That's the placebo effect. So that's how they do all the drug testing. They do the testing, so they try to eliminate that placebo effect to see if the reason people are getting better, is it really because of the drug or the surgery, or is it because the expectation? Now, I think it's sort of funny from my perspective, since I'm really naturally oriented. I'm a holistic health doctor and written 10 books on health. And you know, I'm not licensed, not an MD, or I don't pretend to be one on TV. But, you know, I really believe in God's way, which is the natural way. Sometimes you need to do things outside, like chemicals and drugs, on a short-term basis. But I find it really interesting that a number of years ago, and this study has been replicated several times, one of the most lucrative procedures in the medical field, well, two of them actually, I'm going to mention, to demonstrate this point here about expectations, is putting stents into people's bodies and open heart surgery. Now, all the studies show that when the person gets a stent put in or they have open heart surgery, what happens? They almost always get better. Not always. Sometimes they die. There's complications. But in general, people improve. And based on the theory that, you know, the vessels collapsed and they got to put this artificial netting in there to hold the artery open so the blood can keep flowing, you know, particularly to get blood to the heart. So they put the stent in, and it seems to work. But what they discovered, and this is on the front page of some major newspapers, I think New York Times and USA Today, and in the medical journals, of course, they found that when they did fake surgery on people, and where they thought they got a stent, so they had, you know, a big group of people, and half of them got stents, and the other half thought they got stents, but they really didn't. What happened is, over time, in the next, you know, 6 months or year or whenever, there was no difference. The people who thought they got stents, they improved just as much as the ones who got the stents, because they were expecting to, not because there was any real value in the stents like they thought. I understand the theory, it's logical. But reality proved that putting the stents in the body actually did no good at all. And the benefits, the pain going away and feeling better, was simply because the patient was expecting to get better, not because the stent actually did anything useful. Shocking. And they keep on putting stents in anyway because people are willing to pay and they make a lot of money. And even worse than that is open heart surgery. Same thing there. They found out that the people who don't actually get the surgery, they thought they did, they improved just as much as the ones who got the surgery. So it means that surgery actually didn't do anything. Yeah. You know, at least most of the time, you know, like they're estimating like 95% of the time or so, the surgery or the stent really gives no value at all. The value that they got from the surgery, and it also applies to knee surgery, shoulder surgeries, and other procedures, and most of the drugs, the benefit was simply because the mind created the improvement from the faith, the expectation. So you don't want to minimize your expectation. You want to maximize it. You want to get the most mileage. I mean, if you had a car that only got 5 miles per gallon, I guess that's better than just walking. But if you can get 25 miles a gallon or 50 miles a gallon or 100 miles a gallon, you know, the more the better, right? You want better mileage. You want more power. But to have more mileage and power in your life, you've got to maximize the power of expectation, or the word faith, or confidence. They all mean the same thing. Confidence is from the Latin, the con meaning together, and fidelity, fidence. Like fidelity means to be faithful. So confidence means you all together, all of you, you have this faith in something or in yourself. So the other aspect of this, which I guess I touched on, but I want to just make it clear, expectation is, well, yeah, I guess I just say this. Expectation is always about the future. And so if you want a better future, we think about the future already. So let's think about the future in a positive, with positive expectation, such as dread or fear or gloom and doom. Even though a disaster may be coming, you know, it comes along and we handle it. In the meantime, we've got to live by faith, looking at the future, smiling at the future, confident between you and maybe God and your family that you'll be able to handle it. Okay, I think enough on that word. Let's go to our third word. Okay, so you've got to develop a better, higher skill level with using X-ray vision. You've got to live by expectation, expecting the best, expecting that you can handle, expecting that you can get better, expecting that you can go from being a zero to a hero, from a nobody to somebody, from a dud to a stud, however you want to view it. And third, I really like this word too, and I particularly how Darren Hardy uses this word a lot. It's sort of like his logo, which I think is really clever and creative and powerful. And he says, you want to be the exception. So that's the word, exception, or exceptional. You know, I remember someone had a button on their shirt one time and said, why be normal? I mean, do you want to aspire to just be average and fit in? Because if you do what most people do, you get what most people get, which usually isn't something to really brag about or write home about. We want to be exceptional. If you go out to, say, just buy a car, you want to just get an okay deal, or you want to get an exceptional deal? If you're going to get married to somebody, are you okay with just getting anybody and, see how it works out? Or do you want to make sure that you do everything you can to get someone who is exceptional, where they say, like, you're marrying above your grade, you marry up. We want exceptional. We don't want an okay job or a job that we hate, but it's, at least it's a job. Okay, it's better than welfare. But if you could have a job that was exceptional, or maybe even better than a job, is what if you could have your own business? And not just have a business, but have exceptional success. See, that's what happened to me. I guess because of my mathematical background and science background, and when I saw the leverage and the geometric progression possibilities, network marketing back in 1976, I'm in. This makes sense. It's logical. It's exciting. But it didn't work out so well, because the math works doesn't mean people work, right? But I was hooked. And I went from company to company. Sometimes, most of the time, the company was out of business. Eventually, I started, I started moving up the ladder from a nobody to becoming a somebody to becoming really a star, actually. With one company, over 14 years, I became the second highest earner. I had a downline of almost a million people. The company's still there, so it's over a million now. And it's making up to $1 million a year. So I became exceptional. But when I started off, I was a nobody. And it did help. I was in the right place at the right time. But so were a lot of other people. A lot more people joined before me and after me, but I got to the top. Now, I had a few things going for me, but at the beginning, I was not exceptional. But I became exceptional. So if you're listening to me now, just like Darren Hardy likes to say, you can be the exception. You can be exceptional. Are you okay with settling for just being average? I mean, if you're doing the best you can, well, then good. God bless you. But a lot of people, they settle for just being okay. They're too passive. We got to be realistic. Not everybody can make $1 million. Making even $1,000 a month in network marketing, most people don't even do that. But some people are making $1,000 a day. And so with the right ingredients and the right recipe, anybody can make like a perfect cake or a perfect whatever it is. If you follow the recipe, you can be exceptional. But most people, they don't follow the recipe. They try to figure it out on their own, and they don't develop their skills. But I'm telling you, you know, listen to me, you can be exceptional. You can be one of those people who say, man, where did he come from? He used to just be like a nobody, and now he's making $1 million a year. Are you kidding me? I can't believe this. Well, that could be you that they're talking about someday. And money isn't really the best measurement of success. It is somewhat correlated most of the time as to how much value you're creating. But you want to be exceptional in every part of your life, not primarily financially. You want to be exceptional. You want to have an exceptional marriage, right? If you're married, you want your kids to be exceptional. You want to be an exceptional parent. If you have friends, you want to be an exceptional friend to them, right? If you're in a business or a job where you are doing something to create value, how would you feel about yourself if you knew that you were being exceptional? Or are you okay with just being, you know, average? You're going to feel better about yourself. You're going to like yourself more. You have more confidence. You're going to be happier, and you're going to be healthier when you are coming from this perspective that, and there's two ways to say this, that you are exceptional, because in a lot of ways you already are before you see the results, just from your mindset. You're seeing yourself as someone special. You're unique. And as far as the world sees, you can become exceptional in terms of what you do and the value you create. So just to clarify that, there's two elements or stages or dimensions of being exceptional. First, you got to see it in yourself as you are an exceptional person, and now you just need to do whatever it takes so everybody can see it, where you're getting exceptional results. But you got to see yourself as you are that buried treasure. You are that diamond in the rough, the diamond that's covered by dirt that everybody thinks is worthless, and a lot of people feel worthless. But so you got to start off by seeing that I can be, not only can I be an exception or exceptional, but right now you are, because you are unique and you have a different combination of gifts and backgrounds and experiences that can empower you to make more of a difference. Okay, that's pretty much what I wanted to say. I want to just tie it up with one last comment here about on this line of being exceptional. And that's one of the most practical areas, not just having a mindset of being exceptional, but just, I'm going to say this just for the health of it. You want to be exceptional in terms of your health. Because if you do what most people do, you're going to get what most people get, which isn't a pretty picture. It's like they're all on the Titanic, and it's going to hit. When it hits the big chunk of ice, it doesn't end nice. It's going down. So the Titanic is a metaphor for an unhealthy lifestyle. But it's comfortable and convenient to be like everybody else. Everyone else eats junk food and it's just, just do everything in moderation. Yeah, and most people are getting heart disease, cancer, diabetes. So you want to be the exception. I've chosen to be the exception in multiple arenas, you know, including my health. You know, so I was shocked the other day. I read that 75% of the people over 50 are on at least one medication. If you're on any medication, I mean, you have a serious problem to be putting drugs in your body, even if it helps the symptoms. I mean, there's a serious breakdown. So the average person, 75% of the people over age 50 are on at least one or more medication. Now, I chose to be the exception. I used to be really unhealthy. I was on medication for 14 years, for my serious, severe allergies. And I got off that in 1972 when I discovered there was a better way. And that was sort of my opening into natural health and healing. But, I had a weak immune system, so I didn't inherit strong genes. But now, at age, I'm turning 68 on Christmas Eve here in 1 month. my blood pressure is generally about 100 over 60. The third of people have high blood pressure, and even before my age. I weigh about 150 pounds. I'm in good shape. I don't have any pain in my body. Of course, no medication. So I chose to be the exception. It didn't happen automatically. But I'm concerned that most people are too passive. I say, well, we'll just see what happens. Well, we'll start this new business, and we'll just see how it goes. And if it works for me, then I'll start telling other people about it. And the passive approach doesn't get you too far. Jim Rohn talked about that a lot. You got to be, and Stephen Covey, you got to be proactive. You got to have high expectations. You want to endeavor to be the exception, be exceptional. Because if you do, you're going to have a better life. You're going to be happier. You're going to be healthier. You most likely will live longer and have more of an impact on your life and leave a better legacy. If you just go with the flow and just sort of fit in and, conformity, and, you're not going to be as happy. You're not going to be as healthy. You're probably not going to make as much money. And you're not going to have as great of a life as you could have had if you had used your X-ray vision and lived with expectation and choosing to do whatever it takes to be the exception and be exceptional. And then we also have the power to help other people to rise up and become exceptional. We can see stuff in them, the treasure in them, the greatness in them, like Les Brown talked about, that you have greatness in you. Well, a lot of people won't see it. So we can use our X-ray vision to see the greatness in them, their magnificence, their potential, their possibilities, and help them to see it and help them become exceptional, help them to live by faith and expectation, and help them to become perhaps a hero in their own journey. So, Peter, thank you. That's it for tonight, the triple X formula for a better life epic, using your superpower of X-ray vision, expectation, and being exceptional.
Great information. As usual, I want to say thanks again on the eve of Thanksgiving for those people that are listening in. I hope everybody enjoys their time with family if they have family around, and if not, that's going to be okay too. I know for us, we celebrated Thanksgiving a little bit early because my daughter went into Marine boot camp, Ray. She's a Marine boot camp person right now, as a matter of fact. So we celebrated Thanksgiving a little bit early. So for all those people that are listening, yeah, exactly. So the cool thing is that it's great to listen to Ray. And just imagine if you filled your life with this type of thought process and helped a whole bunch of other people as well. So, Ray, I got to say sincerely as much as I can, thanks so much for being here on Wednesday nights and sharing this information. And for those people listening in, what you want to do is you want to go listen to some of the previous ones. Go to buildingfortunesradio.com/Ray Gebauer, buildingfortunesradio.com/Ray Gebauer. And for those people that want to reach out to you, Ray, how would they get in touch with you?
Yeah, thanks for asking. The easiest way is just call me on my phone number. It's easy to get a hold of me. You can call or text me at 714-488-9074. I'm actually in Vancouver, Washington, next to Portland, Oregon, and it is a California number, but it is 714-488-9074. So if what I said resonates with you and you like what you heard and you want to connect with somebody that maybe can help pull you up and enrich your life and help you to be more exceptional and live more by expectation, maybe I can help pull some of the treasure out of you, call me. Let's have a conversation for possibilities and see if we might be a good fit to work together on some level. I'm excited about what I'm doing, and I'm always looking for good people to connect with and work with. So if you're open to that, let's talk. Give me a call.
Perfect. Thank you, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you, Ray.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.